about that time. We glad the Lord has given us another privilege to be back in church again. And didn't come in. Didn't look like it was too many, but it don't look too bad right now. Be a lot of churches be tickled to see a bunch like this, wouldn't it? So the Lord's blessed us. A lot going on, but we are glad to be here. The choir will sing a couple, three songs here after a while. Y'all pray for them. Lord leads you to do something, to testify or sing a song. Whatever the Lord's telling you to do, it'll be in order. But I think before we do anything, I think we'll just go ahead and have prayer requests. And anybody might have a testimony right now. You feel like you want to testify right now, you go right ahead. And if you have a prayer request, we'll go ahead and take him right now if you want to. Yeah. She's having her Wednesday. Remember Herb Dye and his family. A lot of people's having a lot of sickness and deaths in their family. And we need to pray for them because at some time or another, it'll hit home. And when it does, it's rough. Anyone else?
Remember Aaron Jones.
Yeah, remember Aaron. Anyone else?
Having trouble breathing. He went to the heart doctor and a lung specialist, both they couldn't find out why. So lift him up in prayer, please. Donnie.
Anyone else? Rob Bumpus, would you open us up in prayer, please?
God, for this day of the day, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for your church and your church and the other involved ones. God, for the day. Thank you.
singing some here.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready, Pam. And just pray for us just as hard as you can. Not too many of us, but the harder you pray, the better we'll sing. Let's pray for Jimmy tonight. Lord, let's bless him real good. Let's shout.
Meeting.
Yeah, bless you.
And a lot of meetings you do just are meetings to do them and get them done. But at the end of our meeting turned into a spiritual meeting. And we left there. I left that meeting happy and glad and excited to be serving our Savior. And then we got to come to church this morning, and I was happy to come. I couldn't wait to come. And I had a good time this morning.
Yeah.
Now, I spoke, so at that point everybody else might have got bored, but I was having a good time in God. And then come tonight, and I was glad to come. I was happy to be here. It's good to know that the God I serve can make me happy in this world.
Yeah.
He can give me joy in this world, in the midst of everything that goes on.
Sure.
God is my joy. God is my happiness. Yeah. I'm glad that God saved me. And more than that, I'm glad that God continues to work in me and in my life. And I look around, and I see him moving. I see him working, and I see him answering prayers, and I think, man, what an awesome God that is to serve. I mean, we could serve a God that we would pray to, and he wouldn't move. He wouldn't do anything. Any other God, it's that way. But our God is so alive and so strong and so powerful and so real. And I'm glad of that. To know that and to feel that makes me glad, makes me happy, makes me joyful that one day he actually offered me a chance to be in his family.
Amen.
And that makes that just creates in me a feeling that no one can take away.
Amen.
No one can take away. And I'm glad that God, as big as he is, loves little old me, cares about little old me. And when I talk to him, when I think to him, when I pray to him, he hears every word that I say.
Sure.
Every word that I say, I think about, you know, he never turns his ear away from me. That's what the Bible says. It says his ear is constantly inclined unto my cries.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. I'm glad he does never turn away. I'm glad that when I talk to him, he hears me. He answers me. I don't always get the answer I want. I don't always get what I want from him. But you know what? I get a whole lot of that I do want because he loves me. I get more than my needs. If he gave me only my needs, that would be wonderful. But you know what? He loves me enough to give me more than my needs.
Amen.
Just like you do with your kids and I do with mine. We don't just give them what they need. We give them what they want to. Not everything, but a lot of what they want. And that's what he does. I just think he's so awesome. I think it's so good. And serving him makes me happy.
Yes.
And he's my joy.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you.
You got a testimony that's going to set on. There's a good spirit here tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Daniel.
Glad to see Judy back on her job tonight.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Judy, I'm so happy to have you over.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Wendy has done a great job,
yeah.
But I missed you.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Somebody else are getting better all the time. You know, this might not spam. Someone else. This might sound funny, and I don't know how to really say it, but I'm just telling you how I really feel. Very many in the choir that I thought, but I was surprised. Pleasantly. It sounded good.
Yeah.
It sounded good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that. I appreciate it.
Amen.
Anyone else? Good.
I like break rules every now and then. No, that last song, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold. You know, I was thinking how many people are chasing that money, chasing that. You know, I was thinking about those, a lot of people out in Hollywood that are disfiguring their bodies, trying to find the fountain of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And we found the fountain of youth. It's called heaven. And it's an eternal fountain where we'll always be young.
Amen.
But we've got that to look forward to. The riches we might not have down here, but we have that to look forward to. And I'm happy. It's been a good service tonight. I want to keep it going. I want to hear the testimonies. Want to feel the Spirit tonight. So I'm just in a good mood. I felt like breaking rules a little bit, testifying.
Right.
Might even testify again. I don't know. We don't have any rules in here. But it's a good place to be tonight.
Bless you.
I felt good, so I thought I'd stand.
Yeah.
Someone else.
Amen.
Jimmy. Okay.
And so I feel the prayers, and God's taking care of each one of them as we speak. I know things will work out. And 7 years ago tomorrow, I got blessed with a good Christian man to be my husband. And I just want to thank him for doing that for me so that I don't have to spend life on this earth by myself. Because I know I got God with me, but he gave me a wonderful husband.
That's good.
And he comes to church with me, and it just makes me so happy. And I just want y'all to keep us in your prayers.
I hadn't known him very long, but I think he's a good one too. Anyone else? Bless you, brother.
Yeah, bless you. This morning service really, it was quite a blessing to me because it started off with a video, and I was practicing on a song that me and a girl are working on for Youth Sunday. We watched a video this morning, and the guy that explained the video, he took these different stars, and they're called pulsar stars, and they emit radio waves. And these people have recorded these radio waves, and this guy put them all on this app on his iPad and added in a whale song in with it, and then put it to this song, this Christian song. And if you listen to it, you can hear where these stars and these whales are all sounding together, and they literally just sound like this song.
Yeah,
it's
amen.
The tune of that song. And it's amazing how God's creation that he's done
works
together to praise him. And it says that the stars sing for him and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just been a blessing. And so has our Wednesday nights. We've been talking about what the images of heaven and everything and what it's going to be like one day when we get there. And those mansions are there waiting for us.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to be able to have for one day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. That's good. That's good, isn't it? I'm going to wait you out. I think there's more testimonies coming.
Yeah. Here's some more young people.
That's right.
Thank you.
Kendra.
You know, that just blesses my heart when my children
testify
for the Lord. And I spoke this morning about the heritage that I had. And I didn't have it at their age. And I've made it very clear to both the boys that they are blessed and that they are blessed beyond measure that they've got what I didn't have at that age. And,
amen.
But I know there was a great big, wonderful God that was watching over me when I was that age, when I didn't have him and I didn't know who he was. And I'm thankful for that. And again this evening through that song, I know that song just keeps popping right back up in every testimony, but I've got a mansion over the hilltop. I spoke this morning about that great-grandmother that shook that hanky and ran up and down the church aisles down there at Bancroft Church of God Mission. And, you know, that was the great-grandmother, but it was the grandmother who would take me to church when I would come home from Columbus. And on the way to church, I remember two things specifically in the car, traveling from the house to the church, and one of them was that song. We sang it almost every time. And the other one was that I got to get a piece of juicy fruit gum every single day. It's funny the things you remember as a kid. But I just say that again to just speak what I know, and that is that, you know, that verse of scripture in the Bible that talks about training your children up in the way that they should go.
Right.
So that when they are old, they will not depart from it. You know, what little bit I got as a child brought me back to it at 32 years of age.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That he drew and that he knocked on my heart's door. And I just responded and I came. I came.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord.
Anyone else? Come on, Jimmy. Trenton, I want you to pray for Brother Jimmy as he comes and pray for his message.
Thank you for the choir that we have here, the choir that we heard tonight. May that you be breaks rules again. Stay down here. How about that? Feel like being different tonight. Feel like stirring things up a little bit. If we've already been stirred, it's good. What is it about gum in church? I don't know what it is, but my parents, we could be late for you know, late for church and going down the road, but for some reason, we always had to stop and get gum. Anybody else have that? I don't. My dad would get T-berry for some reason, T-berry gum, I don't know. But stopping to get gum for the things you remember when you're kids going to church, you know. Everybody got along on Sunday morning, right, before church started? That's like a circus every time. So, but well, we're glad to be here tonight. It's a good place to be. Glad to hear from everybody, especially glad to hear from the young people tonight, you know, hearing them pray and hearing them testify. And it's just refreshing. It's refreshing. It's good to hear. And I asked Brianna Miller if she would sing a little bit later. So if we're going to hear, we've heard one pray, we've heard one testify, we're going to hear one sing. So we're blessed tonight. But we have a lot to be thankful for as Christians and as members of Gold Town Church. We just have a lot to be thankful for. But the song that she's going to sing a little bit later, she sang it before. It's called Come Alive, and I wanted to read some of the words of that before we get into the message, because it applies to what we're dealing with today. It says, through the eyes of men, it seems there's so much we have lost. As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. You know, think about the people that you know that start out with such promise. The people that you know that were so healthy, young, and at a young age, Satan gets in there and he whispers visions of grandeur. You know, he shows them things that they could have if they just go down this path. He shows them glimmers of hope if they just do this, or, you know, if they just, you know, and so they get filled with lies. It's the same thing he's done since the beginning of time that he did with Adam and Eve. When he whispered to them and said, "You shall not surely die." What did God say? That if they ate from that fruit, if they ate from the fruit of that tree, that they would die. And he comes along and says, "You shall not surely die." And so he's been whispering these things and led them off as slaves. People have become slaves to their sins. They've become slaves to sin. They've become, you know, we all do. We all become slaves to sin. And it takes Jesus Christ to set us free. But it said, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God. Yours is the victory. We know that there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. What about the things, the faith that we have for things that are not seen? That's what Christianity is it not? It's looking at the bad things that are going on and knowing in your mind that down the road, the good things are there that are there lie ahead for us. That we have those good things to look forward to. We wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't have those good things to look forward to. We wouldn't be here gathering, praising God if we didn't know that the ones that we've lost that followed the Lord, that they're there waiting for us on the other end. We wouldn't be here tonight if we didn't believe that there were good things in store for us. Because if we didn't, then we would be out just, you know, trying to live life and enjoy it while we can because it would be gone. But for those of us who put our faith in the Lord, we know that there is something greater on the other side. We know that there's something greater even in this lifetime that we have to look forward to. We might be going through a rough patch, might be going through a valley, but we know that there are great mountaintops ahead of us that God is going to bring us to. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. One time I did a message on Jesus being the lily of the valleys. And a lot of times I've always heard it, lily of the valley. But when you read it, it says of the valleys. That means that he's there in every valley. Every valley that we have to look into, he's there. And he's there to get us through that and get us onto the other side. It doesn't matter how deep it is. Man, sometimes we face those deep valleys, don't we? Don't realize how deep it is until we get down and we say, man, this is pretty bad. And then we realize that we're not at the bottom yet. And then something else happens, and we go a little bit further, and we say, everything's just happening. And then you go a little bit further, and you know, you get down into one of those deep valleys, that you've never been that low before. And then you remember what lies ahead, and that God has brought you through some other valleys before, and that this valley is not deep, not so deep that God can't bring you through it just like he did the rest of them. And then you go through and you find that the other valleys that are more shallow than that one are a little bit easier to get through because, hey, I've already been down to those low valleys. Boy, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a living God. We have a God that loves us, a God that brings us through those hard times. It goes on to say, as we call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. Up out of the ashes, let us see an army rise. We call out to dry bones, come alive. That's what Christians do. We see the desolate. We see the ones that are hurt. We see the ones that are slaves to their addictions, ones that are slaves to this world. And those of us who have the faith to believe, we call out to those people. And we call out and call them to come alive. But as good as those lyrics are, and they're very good lyrics, but they go to another story. These come from the very word of God that he gives us. He not only gives us words today, but he gave us these words. And so these words are based on this story right here in Ezekiel chapter 37. Turn with me if you got your Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, a familiar passage from Ezekiel. And it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. So here we have Ezekiel. What a strange thing to happen to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He had prophesied to the children of Israel. He had a good relationship with God. He was connected with God in that sense. And for some reason, God takes Ezekiel, his beloved prophet, and he takes him out and sets him in the middle of a bunch of dry bones. He had to be confusing. Why am I here? Why are you showing me this? Why are you trying to depress me by showing me this? But he sets him in the valley, which was full of bones. And it says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, you can almost close your eyes and picture this valley full of bones. I don't think it probably didn't smell because there was no flesh of any kind. It had already gotten to the point where they were dry bones. But you could probably picture what that would look like. All of the skulls, all of the femurs, all of the bones that were there in that valley. And you could probably imagine the sound. If you went and just kicked some of those bones, what it would sound like to hear those dry bones. So you can picture what it would be like for Ezekiel to be there. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. I think it's kind of a funny answer because Ezekiel, it's kind of a non-answer. God said, Ezekiel, do you think that these bones can live? And Ezekiel, not really sure what's going on, probably saying, you know God, you know what everything is, you know how it is. And he's probably thinking, I have no idea what I'm doing here. I have no idea what he's asking of me. I have no idea what is it that he's trying to show me. But he says, you know God. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now, one of the things that I want you to know is that these were a valley full of dry bones. So it wasn't like this was a valley full of sick people, or a valley full of people who were at their last breath. It wasn't a valley full of people who were low on hope. This was a valley full of dead, dry bones. These people had already lived and had already died. They had already gone through their transformation from life unto death. And so they had already lived and they had died. Things were hopeless for these people. And you know, when we serve God, we don't serve a God that gently nurtures people back to life. We don't serve a God who gently brings people and nurses them and brings them along until they're fully restored. We serve a God that in a twinkle of an eye can bring someone from death unto life. We serve a God who just like that can bring someone who is blind to someone who can see. From someone who has been sick for 12 years with an issue of blood to someone who is fully healthy and restored. He is a God that can bring things into existence just as they are. And so what he's facing here is a valley full of dry bones. They already were, and now they are dead, and so they're there. And it said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." So he had to take the bones, and first he had to cover them with something so that he could breathe life into them, so that there was something there, there was a vessel there to actually catch the breath of life. When we talk about the breath of life, what are we talking about? We're talking about the Spirit of God. God was breathing his Spirit into them. So they were bones, and then they became there became sinews, and then there became flesh, and then the last step was he was to breathe life into them. "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." So not only did he bring them to life, not only were they brought to health, but they became a great army. They were healthy. They were fit. They were ready. They were ready to fight. "Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." So he was listening to them, and they were saying themselves that we are done. We are dry bones. Our hope is gone, and we are cut off of our parts because they had been separated from the Lord. They had drifted from the Lord. And it says, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, all my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, thus saith the Lord." And so I read this tonight because we have a lot of hope or a lot of despair that we look at. We have a lot of things that we get down about. And don't know what part this applies to you. That's up to you. It's up to you to look in your life and determine where the dry bones are. It's up to you to think within yourself, because I can look at myself and see my own, but I can't see yours. So it's up to you tonight to take this and apply it to your life and see where it is that the dry bones are. What is it in your life that feels like it's just not alive? What is it that like this valley once was full and alive and thriving, but now has become dry bones? You see, they had to live before they got there. And so in your life, what is it that was living? What is it that was alive? What is it that was thriving and now has become some dry bones? What is it? Is it, you know, it could be a person that maybe you've had a falling out with. Maybe you've had a conflict with, and your relationship with that person has become just full of dry bones. Maybe it's somebody that you had a lot of hope for, somebody that became addicted, somebody that just got way off the path and you haven't had contact with them for a while, and maybe you consider them kind of out there and beyond hope. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a part of your life that once was there and now it's It's dry bones. Whatever it is, let God speak to you about what it is. Maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, let God speak to you. But this is his message. It was alive once, and it could be alive again. It was alive once, and it could be alive again. You know, I thought some people put faith in religions, and some religions use bones to know what to do next. Have you ever seen they use these bones to figure out what it is that they're going to do next? What is it that foretells the future? Kind of like an oracle type thing. But our God takes those bones and he makes them alive again. He is a God of resurrection. He is a God that takes what is dead and is now alive. So I ask you tonight, what is it that is full? What is it that has died? What is it that has gone down to where all the life has been sucked out of it? And know that God can touch that area. God can touch that person. God can touch that relationship. God can touch that part within you that has been alive before, and he can make it alive again. He can do it just like he did this time. When I thought about the despair and the hopelessness that Ezekiel must have felt when he looked out at these dry bones, and he must have felt overwhelmed because there wasn't even anything to pull them together. There wasn't anything. They were just all scattered. But what they had was God, who was able to restore, and not only restore, but to breathe the breath of life into them so that they could function, so that they, you know, could be fully alive and there again. And he can do that with anything that we have. You know, is there anything that you really think that God can't do in your life because it's too difficult? Is there something there that is far more difficult than anything he's ever done inside of here? Is there a mountain that you have that God wouldn't be able to move? Is there an obstacle that you have? Is there a valley that you have that God wouldn't be able to bring alive again? And we all know the answer to that. It's no. There isn't anything that you have. When people say, God won't be able to forgive me because of the things I've done, are your sins more powerful than his blood? And the answer is no. Is your doubt more powerful than his love for you? And the answer is no. But it's all up to us whether or not we're going to seek his face. It's up to us to call on him because he's the only thing. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. We serve a God that can do anything and all things. And you know what else? What's greater beyond that is that he's willing to do these things for us. He's willing to take the children of Israel who have turned their back on him over and over again. He's willing to take them and to set them up on their feet and to allow them to live again, to breathe the life into them. And he did it through Ezekiel. And he'll do it for us if we just believe, if we just call on him, whatever it is. This church can be more alive. This community can be more alive. People that we love can be more alive if we just call out to them and call out to come alive. Because that's what he had Ezekiel do. He had Ezekiel to preach to them. He had Ezekiel to call out to them and command them to come alive. I love how God uses people to reach other people. I talked about that a couple weeks ago. He used Moses to reach the Israelites. You know, he used Jesus to reach all of us. He used all of these people. He used Paul to reach the Gentiles. So he uses us for other people. And we need to be always looking. What is it that we can do so that God can use us to reach other people? Because he loves them and he loves us. And he wants to bring things fully to life. You know, I thought about the despair that was in that valley. And how hopeless it must have seemed. God wants to show us the rock bottom of things as they can be. He wants to show us how hopeless things would be without his power. He wants to show us how we can never overcome things on our own. I mean, he chose David, a ruddy youth, to go against Goliath so that people would know that it wasn't a man that took Goliath and put him on his back, that it was God. He chose Gideon. And he chose Gideon. He told Gideon to get an army. And he said, no, there's too many in your army. Send some home. And he said, no, there's too many in your army. Watch how they drink the water. And if they drink it this way, send them home. He wanted the world to know that it wasn't Gideon's army that was defeating the other army, that it was God that was defeating them. He chose a lowly carpenter to march into Jerusalem and to preach and to teach the people the way that they should go. He chose Jesus Christ as a lowly carpenter out of Nazareth to teach the people so that people couldn't say that it's just men alone that are doing these things. God works in those ways to show us that he can overcome all of those things. But I want to get back to this point. When he looked at that valley and how in despair it was, it reminds me of another time when things were so dark in the Bible. Things were so full of despair, especially for the disciples. They were standing there on a hill and they were watching their Savior. They were watching their leader. They were watching the one that they had given up everything to follow. They were watching him die on a cross. And they had to be holding out hope that maybe some way he's not going to die right there. Maybe someday he's just going to come off that, or some way he's just going to come off that cross. Maybe he will send some angels. I just happen to think that they were sitting there waiting on some kind of great event for Jesus to be saved right there on the cross. They had watched him walk across water. They had watched him calm the sea. They had watched him heal the blind. They had watched him bring Lazarus back to life after 4 days. They had watched him do all these things. And so they probably were waiting for him to do his next act, which was to come off the cross. And they were hoping that maybe he wouldn't die right there, but that he would pull off something as they've seen him do so many times before. But as they sat there and they watched that spear go into his side, and the blood and the water to flow out must have made their heart sink. Must have made their heart sink, because when the water and the blood was separated, that meant that they had died. And so their heart must have sank, because he just died. He just died. He promised us that he would always be with us. And now he's dead. He promised us that everything would be all right. And now he's dead. What's going to happen to me? What is it that's going to happen to me? But Jesus Christ had to live and had to die and had to be buried so that he could be resurrected, so that we could know that God can do all things and that he loves us as much as he loves us. He spoke to those words, to those bones, to that body, and Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. The God that we serve is not a God that nurses people back to health. He is a God that brings people from bones to a fighting army. That's the God that we serve. It's not like that he helps us out right in the nick of time and comes in and swoops in right before we die. No, he is a God that says, death isn't a concern to me. He is a God that says, it's not a concern to me what condition this body is in, because I can restore it if I want to restore it. That's the kind of God we serve. And so when you look at it like that, and you think about the areas in your life that have turned into dry bones, why is it so hard to believe that God would bring that not only back, but to a thriving part of your life? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He also said that your Father cares about you as much as your Heavenly Father. And if you would ask him for something, for a fish, he wouldn't give you a serpent. If you would ask him for something, he's going to give you what you need to have. And there, all of the resources are at his fingertips. And he is willing to do that. I'm going to go ahead and ask Brandon to make her way up here. She's going to sing. Think about the doubt that you have. Because we all have it. I have the doubt. Why do I forget that the thing that's in front of me, why do I forget that God's going to take care of it? Why? Why do I forget it? I forget it all the time. The thing that's in front of me, facing me, is something that he's brought me before countless times. So why does it scare me again? Ask yourself that. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid because God is in control. We shouldn't doubt about whether or not something's going to collapse because God is in control. We shouldn't lose sleep over things that we know that God can be in control of. He has brought us through worse before, and he'll bring us through things again. If we just believe. I think about when he talked to Joshua. After Moses was gone, he talked to Joshua. I like that in the book of Joshua that starts out, and he just says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Whatever you do, do not fear. And he just keeps saying it over and over because he wants him to know that he's in control. And that's what he's telling you. He's telling you not to fear. He's telling you that he can make anything out of anything. And that he is the God of resurrection. And that he is willing to do that. As she sings, listen to the words. And if you have a part that, I'm not even going to say that. If you just have anything, you bring it up here to the altar. If you have anything, any need at all, you bring it here and ask him to take care of it. And ask him to restore it. Ask him to make it thrive. To make it, to just bring it back to wonderful life that he is willing to do. As we get a song, Brandon's going to sing for us. Please stand.
Much we have lost,
yeah.
As we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves.
Yeah.
But we know that you are God, yours is the victory.
Yeah, amen. Bless you, man.
We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. So we call down to dry bones, come alive. Bring us back the wayward son, and by your spirit breathe upon them, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can save. So we call down to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call down to dead hearts, come alive, come alive. God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, as we come out. much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked. One by one, the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah. So we call out to dry bones, come alive.
To know that when you call, it's going to land somewhere. It's going to land somewhere. God inclines his ear to bless us. It's been a refreshing place to be. I say refreshing because it just makes you feel better than you felt in a long time. And I feel hopeful. I'm glad that we serve the God that we serve. And I just know that he's going to supply our needs. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. And man, I'm glad that we aren't somewhere else. Trying to fix things and trying to, I'm glad we serve that kind of God that does that. And it's been a good place to be tonight. It's been a good place. Anything else before we dismiss? I've already broke some rules tonight, so if you want to testify, go ahead. No matter. It's good. Bless you, Dana. Yeah.
It's been a good place to be.
Yeah.
I come here tonight, coming up the road, and I felt empty as empty could feel.
Bless you, Dana.
How am I going to open up a service and lead a service empty as I feel? Little did I know, the Lord just told me, he said, Dana, get out of the way. I'll take it. Go.
Bless you,
what
Dana.
A good service we've had. We just get out of his way and let the Lord take over. Give up and let Jesus take over.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you, Dana. Bless you, Dana. Someone else.
You know what Jordan was saying about that?
Amen. Bless you, Tammy.
Video and stuff this morning. It just like blew my mind, you know? And like on Wednesday nights, it is such a blessing. Like, Rob, I don't understand. I mean, like, those conversations that we have, they just like, I cannot wrap my mind around it. Like, because we were talking about like how Adam and Eve were created and talking about the garden. And I was like, okay, so God created us, we created God. Like, and I talked to Rob about it, and, you know, he told me God has always been, you know, always will be. And I just cannot, like, wrap my mind around that.
Let's
like,
take it.
There's just a lot of things that I don't understand.
Amen.
A lot of questions that I have. And it's just a blessing. Like, I love Wednesday night classes. Like, I look forward to it.
Bless your heart.
Like, the people that don't come, they're really missing out.
Yeah. Amen. Bless you, Tatum.
Just remember me.
Yeah. I say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Someone else testify. Amen. Bless you, Pam. Bless you, Pam.
These young people, and not just the young people. I don't mean that everybody else is not important. It's just what it's all about.
Bless you, Pam. Bless you, Pam. Amen. They refresh us.
Yes.
They refresh us. And,
Jimmy, they are the future of our church.
That's right. You're right. You're right. And they are the present.
Amen.
That's right.
They are the present. Someone else. Do you? We're expecting good things tonight. Okay. All right.
Give up on the other things that they're searching.
Amen. Bless you, Candy.
Jenny, I just want to thank you for your lesson,
Yeah. Bless you, Candy.
We're singing this song at school in choir. It's called Drivers. And my teacher is very religious, and she watches what she says in class to not offend anybody, but she says there's this part in the song, and it talks about
God's
power and how intense it was. And she tried to explain to us how in the Bible this is a very intense, awesome, amazing thing, and how we need to sing it with as much power as we can, like God's power. And I was looking through music, and on the first page it says Ezekiel 37, and it's referring to the Bible, and it says that you can read into it, and that's what the song is about that story. And I think it was last Friday, I was like, man, I really want to read that story because this sounds like a pretty cool story. And as soon as I heard you say Ezekiel 37, talking about driving, my eyes just lit up, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually talking about it.
Bless you, Katie. Amen. Bless you, Katie. Amen. God lines things up. He lines things up. Someone else before we just spend a good place. Let's look forward to good things. Let's try to have a little vision about us and look for great things to happen. Just expect things to happen. And not just be looking at our feet and just walking along. But, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. So let's look for the coming months to just be bountiful, to be a blessing. Let's look to have people saved. Let's look to have baptisms and just to have a growing, thriving church. We've got spring to look forward to. We've got Easter to look forward to. And let's keep our eyes ahead of us and know that we have good things in store. And, it's been a good place. Been a good place. All right. If I can I meet with Al and Rob and John real quickly right after this? Real quickly. Amen. Yeah. All right. We look forward to that too. So, Jamie Bailey, would you dismiss this word of prayer?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful service you give us tonight, Lord. Just thank you for giving us the blessing that we wanted tonight, Lord. And just be with each one, Lord.